Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for making Illinois Family Spotlight part of your day. I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by David Shestokas, who's an expert on the U.S. Constitution and America's founding documents. He's also a former Cook County Assistant State's Attorney and an author of three very important books. They are...
The most recent one, Monty, is Creating the Declaration of Independence, which follows Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, and Richard Henry Lee in the weeks leading up to the creation of the Declaration of Independence. It's a very, very important time, and it explains how they did it, what things went into the consideration of the creation of probably the seminal document of the United States, and perhaps one of the most important documents in the history of mankind. In fact, the book mentions that since the Declaration was written, more than 100 countries came into existence issuing a document based on the Declaration of Independence. That book was written following my other book, Constitutional Soundbites, which has 150 questions and answers about the founding documents from the Declaration of Independence through the Constitution and the first 10 amendments, which of course we know is the Bill of Rights. And the third book that we have is Capsulus Informativus Constitutionalis.
Say that a dozen times.
Capsulus Informativus Constitutionalis, which is the only book in Spanish about the founding documents of the country for the more than 36 million Americans who are more comfortable in Spanish than English. There's never been an explanation for those 36 million Americans.
Wow. So I want to talk more about that a little bit later down the road here, but let's talk about what's happening in America right now and the value of the U.S. Constitution when we consider, you know, some of the uproar in the streets, the dysfunction in Washington. If we look back to the Constitution, how can that help us?
I think it can help us a great deal, and if we look back at the entire founding package, because we cover from the Declaration of Independence through the Bill of Rights, and that was about a 15 or 16 year period. It wasn't just the summer of 1787 that was critical. And when you get through, in fact, when I got through writing the Constitutional Soundbites, I wound up going back and discovering that I had 140 references to the Declaration of Independence. So many times these days we hear some people say, that's not who we are as Americans, but I never hear them give any kind of definition to exactly who we are as Americans. And I suggest that over 150 years of our history, if you came to this country, you learned and understood the 55 words that were in the Declaration of Independence that start, what we hold these truths to be self-evident, winds up with the consent of the governed. That is how somebody would become an American. And in fact, that is what we're missing. People don't study, don't understand these basic principles that we were founded upon. And I would also suggest that if those principles were shared and were widely known and were widely subscribed to, a lot of the things, a lot of the efforts that people do to slice and dice us into little bits and pieces would not be effective, because in fact that is what we, for most of our history, what defined us as Americans.
The Constitution unites us rather than divides us.
I couldn't have put it more accurately than that. That's the whole idea, is because of course this country was the first country that was ever founded simply on ideas rather than raw power or force. It was founded upon these principles, and you find the principles, strangely enough, in the Declaration. And I certainly, with all due respect to the people that take an oath to support the Constitution, an oath which, through my career, I've taken 8 times, you can't really understand or support the Constitution if you have not gone through and had a real, real strong grasp of the Declaration.
Tell me, how do we begin to promote that discussion to get that word out to folks?
Well, certainly I'm doing what I can through both my websites and I would suggest that there's a lot of people that are interested in such a thing. I've got 124,000 Twitter followers, and I tweet about these kinds of information. And one of the principles of Constitutional Soundbites is, in fact, that the principles that you find in the documents, in the founding documents, are not Republican, they're not Democrat, they're not conservative, they're not liberal, but rather they're American. And I really do, I speak to groups across the ideological spectrum, and when I get through with that, people are all nodding their heads going, yes, this is exactly right. They would understand, they understand that these are the things. Most recently, of course, that's the kind of message that the president has put forward, is that we are all Americans. But yet even he, at this juncture, has failed to give definition to what that exactly is. And I would suggest that that's found here.
Well, you mentioned that if you have an understanding, or if you say you have an understanding of the Constitution, and that you value it and you support it, you also have to support the Declaration of Independence. What do you mean?
For example, about 70% of the rights that you find in the Bill of Rights grow out of complaints against King George, that you find the 28 complaints that you find against King George in the Declaration of Independence. The Declaration of Independence gives rise to the Constitution. The Constitution actually is the execution of the principles and aspirations that one finds in the Declaration of Independence.
There are those who would suggest, though, that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are flawed documents because it was written by slave owners and they didn't, in effect, abolish slavery in those documents.
Many of them, Jefferson in particular, understood the dichotomy between what he was writing when he said all men are created equal and the existence of slavery. One of the parts of the story in creating the Declaration of Independence tells the fact that Jefferson really wanted to be in Virginia. He didn't want to be in Philadelphia writing the Declaration of Independence. He wanted to be in Virginia, where they were writing the new Virginia Constitution. We have excerpts of what Jefferson proposed to be in the Constitution, the Virginia Constitution. And one of those excerpts indicates that one of his proposals was that at the adoption of the new Virginia Constitution, there would never be any new slaves introduced into the state of Virginia. He was making a provision for the ultimate extinction of slavery at the time that he made a proposal for that at the time. I would also a little known fact that you find in the book is the fact that Jefferson's original draft of the Declaration of Independence was excised by about 25%, and most of the 25% that was excised from there was in fact his excoriation of slavery and blaming King. That was among the list of grievances against King George, because there had in fact been a movement to abolish the international slave trade that was bringing new slaves to the United States of America. Well, to the colonies, because this was before the United States existed as a country. And he was excoriating the king for not allowing the abolition of the slave trade, the international slave trade that was bringing new slaves in. So it's a really complex situation. But I would also say that what people don't do when they make those claims is they don't take a look at what the status was of the 10,000 years of human history before the Declaration was published. At the time the Declaration was published, slavery was, in fact, the law of the world for all practical purposes. There was an understanding that the self-evident truth for most of the world at that time was, in fact, that there were people that were meant to be the masters of others, as opposed to all men are created equal. That had existed for all of human history. And to think that, and to understand that these guys set in motion the change in the philosophy of the world is something that's well underappreciated. And in fact, while we've certainly not completed that in the 240 years since it's been written, when you balance the progress that's been made since July 4th, 1776, as opposed to the 10,000 years of all humanity prior to the publication of the Declaration of Independence, I would suggest that we owe them a great deal of gratitude.
So those founding documents left a pathway open for the eventual abolition of slavery.
Not only the eventual abolition, there is in fact a quote in the book from Abraham Lincoln, who in 1859, a year and a half before he became president and 4 years before he became immortalized in his contribution at Gettysburg when he said all praise to Mr. Jefferson for having put forth a single principle in a very simple manner that stands as a bulwark against tyranny and despotism today and all days forward. And in fact, Jefferson's words in the Declaration of Independence stand this day as a bulwark against tyranny and despotism. People have to point to these words, and people can point to these words. And in fact, I've got a piece on my website about the development of Dr. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. And the development of his speech is based a great deal upon the Declaration of Independence. So I would suggest that they started something which we have yet to complete, but something, again, when you, it's the blink of an eye compared to what had existed forever in all of human history.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. We'll continue our conversation with David Shostakis after this.
Hi, this is Pastor McCracken, pastor of the Church of Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in Markham, Illinois. For the last 4 years, our church has been struggling to overcome the city's efforts to shut us down. In the midst of all of our legal issues, we felt overwhelmed and discouraged. All we wanted to do was worship the Lord and serve our community. We needed a law firm that not only had the knowledge of the law, but the same commitment of the kingdom of God. The Lord connected us with the law firm of Malcolm Baker. The attorneys at Malcolm Baker have not only provided us with exceptional legal representation and counsel, but have also provided us with the added gift of lawyers who pray with us and seek the guidance of the Lord at every step. After working with Malcolm Baker, we can't imagine working with anyone else.
Hi, this is Noel Stert, an attorney with Malcolm Baker. If your church or ministry has any legal needs, please call us 312-726-1243 or look us up online at malcolmbaker.com.
Thanks again for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, joined by David Shostakis, an author of some important books. They are, once again,
the most recent, Creating the Declaration of Independence, which again follows Thomas Jefferson in the weeks leading up to the drafting of the Declaration of Independence, Constitutional Soundbites, which has 150 frequently asked questions, at least frequently asked by me, about their founding documents, and of course the only Spanish language book to provide information about the founding documents of the United States. Capsulus informativas constitutionalis.
That's what I was going to say. Well, anyway, before the break, we were talking about the founding fathers and leaving that pathway open for the abolition of slavery. And two of the chief architects of that were Thomas Jefferson and George Washington. So what would you say to these folks who say, we need to tear down these statues of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson because they were slave owners?
You know, before this book came out June 14th, 2017, and that was before this really hit the fan on taking down monuments, and has been suggested that Washington and Jefferson should be among those people. And so it's already in a few libraries. I'm concerned they're going to take the cover off because it's got Jefferson in the Jefferson Memorial on the cover. That's been of some concern to me. But in fact, I think the truth is that the people that are doing that don't understand that they actually were the folks that set in motion. Of course, as we know, upon his death, George Washington did in fact free his slaves as a portion of his will. It was an extraordinarily complicated situation, but he did in fact free some of his slaves. Jefferson had made those proposals, and the fellow that's on the cover, Ben Franklin, certainly would have made a great talk show radio host, which is why he's got the headphones on. But Ben Franklin actually was the founder of the Pennsylvania Abolition Society. So these folks were not immune to understanding the dichotomy of what they were trying to do, but they were also, as a matter of fact, trying to create a country in a circumstance where they were up against a lot of established power to, there's no doubt that they would never have founded the United States of America if they had taken an absolute line in that situation.
What do you say to those folks, such as former President Barack Obama, who contend that the Constitution is a living document? What do you say to that, and what do you think they mean by that, and what's the danger of that?
Well, first of all, of course, when you pull up to a stop sign, you indicate it indicates that you stop. It doesn't mean, you know, slow down and roll through or check the traffic on either side. It means stop. When Moses came down from the mountain, he didn't come down with the 10 suggestions. He came down with the 10 commandments. And in fact, the Constitution is law. Okay? It's not a suggestion, it's the law. And if we treat it as a suggestion, then we can treat all law as a suggestion, in which case we are not a nation of law, but rather a nation of men who make things up as they go along. There's provisions in the Constitution to, in fact, change it, amend it. The people that promote the idea of a living Constitution simply don't want to go through the process of acquiring the political support to gain the changes, to go through and have it changed legally. And so they argue that it's living so that they can make it up as they go along. It's for their own purposes, for their own power, rather than to recognize the rule of law.
You mentioned earlier that our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence has really been a kind of a game changer for the world. Tell us about that.
Again, before July 4th, 1776, or let's say before September 17th, 1787, the world was one of kings and sultans and pashas and czars and other kinds of dictators. There was never before in the history of the world, with perhaps a small exception of a short-lived period of the Roman Republic, where people governed themselves. It was always part of the story of creating the Declaration of Independence talks about how Jefferson took into consideration the fact that through the history of time, whenever there'd been a revolution and an overthrow of a king, all anybody ever did was get a new king. Okay, they just traded one king for another. They didn't go over and start to rule themselves. They just said, we're going to get rid of this king and we're going to replace him with a new king. English Bill of Rights of 1689 was very, very famous, supposedly, but all they did was get rid of the English king and pull in a Dutchman to be their king. And those kinds of things is what took place. But since then, when people would overthrow the kings or the colonial rule, they would gravitate to the self-rule situation, consistent with the concept of consent of the governed, which is what you find built in the Declaration of Independence. And of course, here's another way that they're interrelated, because the ratification process in Article 7 was designed to achieve what? The consent of the governed. And so you can see the execution of the Declaration of Independence in the Constitution.
What a novel idea that was.
it was novel. It really, really was novel. It was literally revolutionary.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's talk about Supreme Court. Who's the top constitutionalist on the U.S. Supreme Court now?
I would have to, although brand new, we haven't seen all that much of his work on the court. I would certainly believe that Justice Gorsuch is going to probably assume that role. Although I would suggest that Justice Thomas is really right there in many respects. He's got some views about particularly the 14th Amendment and how we have gotten rid of what they call the Privileges or Immunities Clause, which is different from the Privileges and Immunities Clause. But Justice Thomas has a long record of being true to the actual Constitution, rather than having the thoughts that, well, we're in charge and so we can make it up.
If President Trump gets to nominate another Supreme Court justice, who would you like to see there from your constitutionalist point of view?
It's been a while since I looked at his list of 21. I was happy that he picked Justice Gorsuch off his list of 21. The last time when I looked at the list of 21 that he put out during the course of the campaign, I said, I'd be pretty happy with any of these people.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty good folks.
Pretty excellent folks, excellent dedication to the Constitution, the rule of law, which you know brings us back to the Declaration, if I might mention something. One of the last sections of creating the Declaration of Independence is devoted to 8 other words. First section is devoted to 55 words. Second section is devoted to the story behind the creation of the document. The last section talks about 8 important words in the document, and that is the law of nature and of nature's God. Okay. And we were in the process, those guys were in the process of founding a country that was to be based on the rule of law, not of men, right? So with that in mind, they had to find something. There had to be a statement of law that was beyond the power of men to change. And Jefferson was able to, in 8 little words, combine the very, very important concepts of divine natural law and secular natural law. From a secular natural law standpoint, the fact is nobody, if they wanted to, no legislature, no matter how hard they tried, they couldn't repeal the law of gravity, right? You know, the law of gravity just it just exists, and it doesn't matter what the legislature tries to do. But there's another aspect to that, and that is you cannot legislate out of human nature the desire to be free. You can't just tell somebody, you know, we're outlining, you don't want to be free anymore. And the law of nature, nature's God, recognizes that concept and actually sets forth the legitimate legal basis for the establishment of the United States of America.
Great. Well, you want to get your books into government schools, Christian schools, parochial schools, home schools. How can we do that?
Well, I certainly hope that this is a first step in that direction. We've been fortunate in having acceptance in libraries, although I'm hoping they don't tear off Jefferson's statue.
This is so important because we're not getting history taught in our government schools, especially.
No, that's especially true, and I would suggest that one of the reasons why is that the Declaration of Independence is in fact a revolutionary document, as we mentioned earlier. And the truth is that a revolutionary document is something that's extraordinarily uncomfortable for an established government. They don't need people that are free thinkers. They don't need people that are considering the reality that the government exists by their consent, or the legitimate government power exists by their consent. And one of the reasons that we find that the Declaration of Independence is not taught is that, in fact, it is uncomfortable for an established government to teach, to look back to its actual revolutionary roots.
Well, if people want to take the grassroots initiative to get your books into public schools, into homeschools, etc., how do they get hold of you? You mentioned you had a website. What should they do?
Certainly can contact me through the website, which is Shestokas, shestokas.com. You can find the books. The books, all 3 of them, are available on Amazon. They can be found that way, and certainly I'd be happy to, if there was a homeschool group or a Tea Party group or a 9/12 group or somebody like that that wanted to use it, because Constitutional Soundbites actually lends itself to discussions because it's the 150 questions and answers. And so it lends itself to discussions. Or email me, david@shestokas.com. Send me an email, we'll certainly arrange for quantity discounts.
What are the names of the 3 books once again?
Creating the Declaration of Independence, Constitutional Soundbites, and of course the one you know best, Capsulas Informativas Constitutionales.
Okay, you said it. All right, thank you so much, and God bless you. God bless. Thanks for joining us here on Illinois Family Spotlight.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org. And look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.